Thanks, my dude. So I want to be speaking and sharing a bit about walking in our calling in the Lord. Yeah. And God, I'm just aware that humans don't call us, Lord. You call us. You're the only one who has a plan for our lives. We didn't knit ourselves in our mother's womb. You did. And you planned the days ahead of us before there were any of them. And right now, God, call us, Lord. Speak to us. Tell us how to do this. Tell us how to walk in this. I pray I wouldn't be talking. I pray just take over my mind and my jokes and everything. And help us, Lord, do what it is that you've made each of us individually to do. That's all we want to do. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to draw some stuff on this board. I really hope you can see it. If you can't, you might have to do like a funny little huddle on the carpet or something. So let's see. So I'm going to juggle multiple things. You guys are going to have a horrific time. I'm just going to let you know. Like, it's going to be, let's see what happens. So, picking up on what I want to talk about is that walking in our call of God is for every single one of us. You say yes and you're going to nod your head, but maybe like me, there was a stage where you felt like, I can be a Christian, I can be saved, and we get saved, and then, but there's only a certain amount of people that actually walk in the call of God, you know, those legit guys. And maybe they get paid full time at a church or something, and they walk in that call, and they write books, and they're very. But for the rest of us, we're just maybe saints. Not true, that one. Not true, that one. That's not true. So then, what you're saying, if you agree with the statement that I just made, you're saying that God hasn't got a plan for your life, or He's got a mediocre plan. So he knitted you in his mom's womb, in the scripture that says he planned the days ahead of them before that there were any of them. But then your little plan is like, you're just like a little saint, like a mediocre saint. But there's other people's plans that they're amazing. That doesn't make sense. Just talk to your brain and go, hey, brain, that's a little iffy. Just a little, put a question mark on that little thought there. You know, as Christians, we've got to capture our thoughts. So if you're thinking that thought, just maybe check yourself and go, okay. I've probably got an amazing call of God. Why? Because you're amazing? No. Because God is amazing, and He made you. Second little tip, I haven't even started drawing on the board yet. Second little tip is you don't know the plan that God has for your life because you didn't make you. That's why it's so hard to figure out on yourself, by yourself. So don't. So if you're trying to figure out this plan and your calling, I can save you a lot of time and a lot of gray hair. I've got a couple. Just don't. Because on your best day, you're going to maybe figure out what? 5% if you're lucky. Because you didn't knit yourself in your mom's womb. Okay. So we recognize that if we're going to walk in this call that God has for us, we've got to listen to the Father who made us. And He must tell us what it is that we must do. You know, when I'm saying it here on the microphone, it sounds really simple. But man, I so haven't done this. Sausage. Okay. So let's give this a go. So shorter Luke and skinnier Luke Hulley preached on how do we prevent getting into heaven smelling like smoke? And he read that scripture in Corinthians that says, for no one can, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, he says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that already has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, capital D, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. That's why we're smiling like smoke. So we get saved, we get into heaven, everything else is burnt up. We're like, whoa, she just made it in. Whoa, she just was smoky. Whoa, so I came with a bunch of stuff. No, that got burnt. Is it all of us, eh? No, I didn't get one little thing that came through. No, because a lot of what you were building with was hay and straw. And you weren't building with gold and silver. What on earth is hay and straw, and what on earth is gold and silver? Glad you asked. Okay, so let's get a little... I'm a visual creature, so this has helped me personally. So I'm sharing you my personal diagram that I write. Has anyone been in my office? No, not all of you. If you go to my office, it's a bit of a... It's a bit crazy. I'm not a... Yeah, I'm glad I'm saved. So let's go. So what have we got going here? We've got this, our life. I'm going to try my best to diagram our lives very hard. So just give me some grace. So what have we got going here? We've got heaven. We've got heaven over here. Yay, cookies. Heaven. We all want that. There's a little narrow gate here to get into heaven. It was a little gate. What a little gate. What is that narrow gate? There's a little narrow gate. Let's find a scripture for that. Because I don't want to be making this stuff up, and I don't. So I have a scripture. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So Jesus says, it's a narrow gate to heaven. It's a wide road to destruction. What's destruction? Yes, that's true. So there's hell up here. Terrible. I'm sorry to write this. But this is what it is. There's hell up here. There's some flames going. Whoa. Flames. Hell.
Okay.
So we're right. What wide is the road to destruction? And many take it. That's where we're going if we take that road when we're unsaved, right? Narrow is the gate to heaven, and few find it. So we're going to go from there to here. Okay? Let's go. So I suppose when you're here, you're unsaved, right? We're unsaved. We're not born again. Is that right? So only the saved go through. So here, you're unsaved. Thank you for bearing with me. I know it's very simplistic, but now you know how basic I am. Okay. Thanks. So you're unsaved, that's where you're going, wide road. You're saved, this is where you're going, heaven, but through a narrow gate. Only few find it. Okay, so logic says we got to get, what's the next step here? We got to get, oh, hey, God, look at us. We're doing a great job. We know what we're doing. Lo, we know. Okay. So first step to getting into heaven and a narrow gate. We haven't even got into inheritance and riches yet. Goodness. So first step, we've got to get saved. We've got to get born again. No hope. No hope in trying to live a good life or be a good person to get through there. That's hay. That's straw. Doing works. There's plenty of scriptures that I need to get into that you can live a religious life, right? We know this. You can do these things. You can look. What do they say? If you sleep in a garage, it's not going to make you a car. If you go to church, it doesn't make you a Christian, turns out. So we actually got to do something. We've got to do something. We've got to live a Christian life to get here and get saved. Okay. So if we want to live this real Christian life that the Father in heaven is going to reward us for at the end of this life, and we're not going to just come through and smell like smoke, it's not easy. There's this, how many of us are saved? How many of us are saved? We're all saved. If you're not, we'll just give you a chance at the end, if that's okay. So many of us are saved. So we got saved. We're not going there anymore. Awesome. But there's this whole bit here in the middle that we got to get into, unfortunately, guys. It's not just saved, ticket, heaven, woohoo! Turns out there's a whole bit in the middle. And this I found in my Christian walk is where the struggle is. I'm in the world. I'm not of the world. I'm in it. I'm not of it. And we got to figure this out. So here's what happens. There's these, let's get another scripture going. So when we get saved, from this part to kind of this part, everything changes. So everything becomes upside down. Now kind of God speaks about a leader must be a servant. Don't be arrogant, be humble. Everything that I did in the world, I mustn't do now. Is that right, Lord? Is that what you're saying? So I want to make lots of money, and I want to get the girls, and is that not the kingdom? Okay. So what is it? You want to be a leader? Yeah, serve. Eh? Because I'm pretty awesome, like. And what's all the serving leadership talk? Long story short, there's just everything changes when you get saved. Your worldview, the way you go about things. God says, that's not how we do things in the kingdom. And Jesus, as you know, if you stayed a Christian for like a while, you read all these parables of Jesus speaking, and everyone's like, what is this? It makes so much sense, but it doesn't make any sense. It's so true, but it's so out of this world. So then we start having our world view completely changed, and we have our minds blown. God speaks to us through our scripture, and then we start to uncover things like this, don't we? That I didn't paste my thing nicely. I'll make it up then. I'll remember it. Ah, I got another note. Look here. Look at me. I got a backup. So where the world calls us, we get saved, and we've been used to living by the world's rules. And what are those rules? What the world calls us, what? What do they say? They say stuff like we're a consumer, a target market, we're a demographic, we're a user, a taxpayer. The world names us certain things, and the rules of the world, as we know, is you have value because of what you do, or what you produce. You got to do something to have value. You get good marks at school, good boy, well done. You did good at university, good. The way you get up in the corporate ladder and in the corporate world is you go through the ranks and your bosses and kind of corporations. The world rewards productivity. And they reward you are valuable because of what you do. That's the rules. We're all in the world. Does that make sense? Is that right? Would you agree? Cool. So then the kingdom, what does the kingdom call us? Again, it goes upside down. The kingdom says what? We are children, sons, daughters, fathers, saints, Christians. Okay, it doesn't use that productivity, consumer, demographic, target market language. Not so much in the Bible. You don't read that there, right? You read children, fathers, sons, daughters, saints, Christians. And then what the Bible says about us, hold your horses with all your works and all your productivity like you did in the world. Hold it. Stop. Paul writes a lot about it. He says, stop that language there, that getting and doing stuff. Stop. You can't do anything of value. What? Your works are like? What's going on now, Lord? So I can't do these works. Don't you bring that stuff in the kingdom. Doesn't belong here. Okay, then you got to talk to me. Like, how does this work then? In the kingdom, they use language like, you are valuable first for doing nothing. Nothing about you and how you were born is a mistake. You don't have to make up for anything. What does it say? God made you for something specific and has a plan for you, and it's bigger than you, and you can't do it on your best day. Okay, wait. So I got a plan, but I can't do it. Perfect. You got it. Welcome to the kingdom. This is crazy. Okay. So we can't do anything, it says, unless we And we're going to, and remember, one of the things that the kingdom calls us, it calls us Christians, which is a little Christ. So, we're little Christs. What did Christ do to walk in the plan of God? Not bad. He died. I don't think God wants us to die. Because Jesus did that. Nice try there, theological thing. What did Christ do? What did Christ do that we should do? Christ said that he only does whatever his Father in heaven told him to do. Likewise, if we're going to walk in our plan of the Lord, we're going to do the same. We can't go off and be thinking these cool thoughts, because I've got plenty of them, God knows. 10% of them get through, if that. Okay, so we're going to do what Christ did. We're going to listen to God and what he says, and that's the only way that we can walk in his plan. Are you with me so far? Is it making some kind of crazy kingdom sense? Great, because you're Christians, you can understand it. Anyone who's unsaved is going, what are you talking about? Don't worry, my brother, I was unsaved too. And I also thought this was crazy. Okay. So, how do we do this then? And this is what starts to happen. Jesus starts to say to us, in the kingdom, you're saved now. And he says, do not, Matthew 6 verse 19, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Okay, stage two. So God says, your productivity language, you want to get all busy and do stuff and think you're fancy? Not here. Doesn't apply. In the kingdom, only listen to what your Father in heaven tells you to do and do that. Thank you very much. Round two, you know all your houses and your cars and your fancy cash and stuff? Also, doesn't really apply here. Really? I like that stuff. Sorry. So, when you hear, that is fading riches, according to the kingdom. As Steve Jobs and some of the guys speak, and have mentioned in the past, they say, it's pointless being the richest man in the cemetery. Even the world knows. We don't die. When we die, stuff doesn't unfortunately kind of come with us. Okay, so we know that God says when we're here, when we were unsaved, there was, what is this? Earthly riches. Earthly, temporary riches. How do I do the moth and the melting? Didn't say it was melting, but I don't know how to do. It's fading. Temporary riches. Fade. Doesn't go anywhere. Okay. Appreciate the creative license. Then down here, it says we've got heavenly riches where moths and vermin can't destroy them. Okay, so we've got nice. Let's get a diamond. A diamond. Ding. That's a horrific diamond. Ding. Sparkle. Sparkle. So this is heavenly riches. Heavenly riches. Forever. Last forever. And this is our inheritance. So most of us unsaved, for large portions of our life, we haven't built up anything heavenly here. The bank account in heaven-ish, not good. Bank account in the world, not too bad, depending on how successful you are. And as we move down here, there's an expectation of our Father and of the kingdom of us that our riches begin to become more heavenly and less worldly. It's not to say that God doesn't want to have some worldly things, but it's not the focus. Why? Because we're dying with this and this isn't going anywhere. This is the only stuff that we can take with us. So God's got an eternal mindset. There's another quick thing, a little tip. When we're unsaved and we're living for this world, everything that we live for, we think we're so clever. We think we're so clever, but we live for the short term. Short term. I know I did. I want that car, everything shiny. I want that thing, and we just We live for short-term things, and we know, guys, what is the debt deal in the world right now? Why are we in debt? Because we buy stuff that we think is nice and we can't afford. And we can't even afford it now. We haven't even built up the wealth yet, and we want to buy it already. So it's even worse. We don't even have the cash yet, and we buy it before we even have the cash. Anyway, that's sad. And then down here, this is long-term thinking. In the kingdom, God is thinking long-term. He's not thinking short-term. Have you ever felt like sometimes it feels like what God is doing takes too long? Quite slow. God is quite slow. Because I was in the world and we were moving. We were moving. And over here, it sometimes feels too slow. I would caution on that. Sometimes God's a bit sneaky, I find him. Let me know if you agree. Things seem like they go a bit slow. And then all of a sudden, he goes, wallop, a lot of stuff now. Have you ever felt, he doesn't like go slowly and gradually. It's nothing. It feels like nothing. And then so suddenly, and now's your time. Whoop, and you're into like huge stuff. Have you found, do you relate? I don't know why he does that. God knows. Thank you, Lord. Go for it. Okay. So here we are, and I really want to get to this middle bit, because this is where I found it the hardest for me. How then do we go from being saved? So now we're saved. How do we go from being saved to walking in through the narrow gate with lots of heavenly riches and walking in our calling from God? How do we do that? Okay. Let's try. Let's see what this does. The first key, I think, is sometimes as a Christian, our theology, what we believe, affects how we walk. So sometimes I've found some Christians, and maybe I did this for a stage too when I was younger in the Lord. I felt God convict me of sin when I first got saved, and he was speaking to me, and I gave my heart to him, and I committed my life. And then I felt like that was just my ticket to go to heaven. Like, my view was there was none of this in-between bit. I got saved now. I must just keep this ticket, and I mustn't sin, or I must just protect my salvation ticket, just my whole life, so I can get in here. I had no concept of like riches and walking in a calling. I'm just like, okay, I'm saved now. Oh my gosh, the world is terrible. It's so sinful, and so am I. So God, I'm just going to protect this, and I'm going to look after it, and I'm going to just do whatever I can to not sin, so that I can at least just get into heaven saved. Whew, I made it through the narrow gate. Because I heard God say that many find the wide one and only a few find the narrow one. I'm going to just protect it. Here's the thing with that. Can I read a quick scripture? Being faithful with the gifts that God has given you. So the thing is, when you have that protection mindset and you have that mindset of fear or just wanting to get into heaven or just doing the bare a minimum, God doesn't really like that. Do you know why? Because think of God's perspective. He made you in your mother's womb, remember? And he made you with a plan, which is well beyond salvation. So now you've just gone, I just got saved. Cool. I'm going to take it. That's it. And God's like, whoa. Dude, you're missing out on a whole plan. Like, you in your mother's womb, I had big plans, and you're just skipping all of that? I'm not okay with that. So he says stuff like this. Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them, his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But then the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Where am I? After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold? See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came And you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. That's not nice. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not making a call on salvation here. I'm not saying God is saying he's going to throw your salvation away. I'm saying God gave us talents and gifts and he has a plan for us. He expects us to walk in them. So for us that say, maybe I'm going to walk in my call of God, I'm just happy with salvation, I don't think God's okay with that. Read that. I don't think he's okay with that. And it kind of makes sense to me. Because if some of my kids that are my natural born kids, when I look at them, and you parents, you look at your kids, and you see your five-year-old doing something cool, you're like, wow, if he's doing that at 5, I can't imagine what he's going to be doing when he's 25. This guy's a legend. You can't help but see a future for your kids. It's perfectly natural. It's the most natural thing, right? You see your kid being a bit smart, you're like, wow, this guy's going to do amazing things. How can we imagine that God doesn't see us the same? It's impossible for him to be okay with just salvation your whole life. He can't. How can he? He's a father, more than I am. So it's not okay to not walk in your calling of God. Settle that. It's not for a select few. Okay, so if it's not for a select few, then God talk to us, please. Okay, Ephesians 4 verse 1. Is it okay if I read scripture? Because I want it to be truth. I want it to be truth. Is that okay? So let's listen to scriptures, not what I'm saying. Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Who receives a calling? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Verse 7, but to each one of us, a grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Each of us has a grace given to us from who? From God. Christ, God calls us. And he apportions us each something specific, a grace that we walk in. Something that I would say we are gifted to do. That no one else can do. Each of us has a specific calling and a grace. Is that scriptural? Do you read there that it's for a certain few people? Because I'm worried you guys still do. Can you see this in the Bible? Is he saying like for certain guys? He really isn't, hey? Okay, they're cool. We settled that then. So, we get saved, and we recognize that we all have a calling in God. Okay, and it's for all of us, not for a select few. Okay? So, we know that God gives gifts. So, God says that he gives gifts. He gives prophecy. We know these things. Hey, we've done these courses. He does prophecy. He gives some words of knowledge. And God gives us spiritual gifts to help us walk in these things, because we can't just do normal works. We need God's gifts to kind of help us. Okay, so we know we've got gifts. I would also say that God says we ourselves are gifts. God gives us gifts, and each of us are gifts to his body, to the church, and to those around us. So sometimes, what got me a bit confuzzled, and I hope it can help you guys, you think that you still apply a worldly kingdom mindset to the kingdom, and this is what we do. I've done this. If I do certain Christian things, just, you know, can someone tell me what to do so that I can walk in my plan? Just give me a list, A, B, C, D, E, and if I do that, then I'm walking in the call. No. Do you know why? Because you are the gift. So he can't, so like, if he is a gift, if he himself is a gift, he can't come and preach this thing that I'm doing now. I can't give him my notes. He could try. Do you know what? I would take the guess, I don't think it's going to have the same oomph. Why? It's not his calling. It's not his gift. He could take my exact same notes. He'd say, Anton, how did you draw the diagram? And he would try and do it, and he would feel weird. He'd feel like he's forcing it. Why? Because he himself is the very gift of God. And he has to do what he's called to do. And I have to do what I'm called to do, so we can't do each other's jobs. Does it make sense? And you can sometimes feel when someone is walking in their gift, in their gifting, in their calling of God, there's power. And sometimes you feel, if somebody is not, it feels quite meh. Why? You could say the same script, preach the same scriptures. It's not your gift and it's not your calling. Okay, so then step two, recognize that we each are a gift that is unique to us, that is given to us by God. Gunther shared, he had a word for us, and he shared, quickly, Gunther, do you want to come and share it quickly?
Yeah. So just a word I felt, my wife and myself, we prayed for this congregation, and we didn't know what he was preaching on, and we just felt that God has made each person in this congregation unique, a special gift. And I think it's quite a unique bunch God has put together, and it's almost like the scripture came up, you're the salt of the earth. And like that, we are salt, and sometimes even people can be a bit spicy, even, you know, that flavor. And what I did feel is, but your God really wants you to embrace that uniqueness that He has made each one of you, and actually to come set free. If people are feeling they need to be in a certain mold, they need to act in a certain way, because that's not who God has called you to, but actually to be who you are, and He will actually through your life be able to save others also, and yeah, He'll just add people to you.
Okay, so how do we do that then? Okay, Anton, well done, we walk in our calling. So what am I saying? I'm saying let's recognize that the calling is for everyone and not for like a select few. What is that word that came through that Adam said? Boy coming through Merva's legs in the inner circle. There is no outer circle. There is no outer circle. There's only an inner circle. We are all in the inner circle with God. That is it. And the world tells us that there's an outer circle, like a Justin Bieber concert. You know, the golden circle, and that's a world thing. In the kingdom, we are in, all of us. All of us. Scripture's very clear on that, eh? It says if you show favoritism, if a poor person walks in and you put them at the back, what does God say? Not rolling like that. Not in my kingdom, he says. Get the rich guy at the back, get the poor in the front. That's how he rolls. Okay, so it's for all of us. Two, that we are a gift. There is something unique for us to do that we are called in. So if we try and copycat other people, you're trying to shortcut your call in God, and you think, God, I actually didn't want to walk in my call. Tell you what, kind of like a little bit of Luke Watson tattoo factor and a bit like brash. I dig a bit of that, so I'm going to cut him a bit and then I place it and I'm going to walk in that. You can't do that because you're going to try. And what's going to be? It's going to be no power. Okay, so now we know that there's only things that I can do that I can walk in. So how do we walk in that then? How? I'll give you a quick tip from my life that hasn't worked. So just save yourself a couple of times. I felt like, for some reason, and it's just a theology thing that I had in my life, I felt like, for some reason, I separated spiritual things from worldly things. Here's what I mean. So I got saved, and I felt like work, business, work, money, that's not spiritual. God doesn't like that. So I'm going to just treat that like, and I didn't like going into Christian businesses. I'd go to some Christian businesses, and they would put scriptures on the walls, and I was like, bro, this is lame. Like, because in my view, business wasn't Christian. Like, money is not Christian. It's just like money. It's neutral. Can't be Christian. Like, a building can't be Christian. So when guys were trying to be Christian in their businesses, I was like, bro, your business can't be Christian, dude. What do you sell? Parts. That's what you do. You sell parts. It's not Christian parts. Like, people can only be Christians. And there's an element of truth to that, right? Because you're laughing. But what happened to me? Here's what happened to me. And I didn't realize it. I didn't bring God into my work. Yes. So I'd be super spiritually minded and God aware for other things. But when I walked into that workplace, I was like, this is just where you do good business. Just do good business, don't lie, don't cheat. I'm a Christian in my business, but my business is not Christian. And what happened to me is that I didn't bring him into it. Hans Robenheimer, I think a few years ago, he came to visit because we had an office with three floors and some people there. And he said, dude, you should pray more. My good mate. And I was like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I pray. I didn't hear him. I think he was trying to say, without knowing it, you're not really bringing God. You're not trusting. You don't feel like this business is part of your call in God. You feel like this is not godly. Other stuff is. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right now, if you're doing that, stop that. Your whole life is your calling in God. Your work, your family, your kids, your relationships, what you're in church. Because if it's not, do you know what we... Because if it's not, here's the danger. We act a Christian with Christians, and we act like an unsaved guy when there's unsaved dudes. That's what happens to us. And we don't mean to do that. We're not trying to do that. But if we have that theology, that's what's going to happen. Automatically. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring our whole life. We're going to bring our whole life to God. And the secret is, Jesus came to die. So we heard a little thing that Luke, kind of Watson preached, the bigger Luke. And kind of he said, some of us, remember in the beginning, we got saved. And we felt like it was just a ticket to get to heaven. And we weren't trying to live in our calling. And God said, I'm not cool with you not walking out your calling because I made you for more than just salvation. Then we say, okay, how do I do that? If we just believe that Jesus died on the cross for me so that I can live a nice, moral, Christian life and bide my time all through my life so I can get to a narrow gate and get to kind of heaven, we, I would say, besides just sliding in and smelling like smoke and having all our stuff burnt up, like the scripture says, God is not happy. He loves us, but he's like, I had more for you. Okay. So then where do we draw that from? How do we walk in our calling? Okay? Is it a course? What is it? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did his Father in heaven send him to die on the cross? Why? For salvation? Okay? And why? Yes. What happened in the beginning of the whole Bible? God was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And they would do that in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. He had perfect relationship before the fall, right? And then they fell. What happened? And Luke said, Adam, Eve, God said, where are you guys? I've come for my walk in the day. talking about, we were going to name zebras together. I got some cool rhinos I want you to check out. Some cool, some happening stuff happening, yeah? Where are you guys? And they hid themselves. Remember Luke said, God never left, we did. God pitched up. We left. Because we were embarrassed by our sin. We still do that, hey? Get embarrassed by our sin. So we leave. He pitches up. So here's what I'm saying to us. I believe Jesus died to restore the way it was when? Right in the beginning. So that God wants us to, what? It's quite basic. God wants us to walk in the cool of the day with Him again. And what? Bring our whole lives. What's Christian and what's not Christian in our life? Everything is redeemed. We're walking with God in the day. So I'd put this. Adam and Eve and God walking. I'm just trying to picture it. I don't know what they did. In a garden. Okay, so in a garden, very lush, let's say. And wait, he did have something to do. Adam had, what did he have to do? He had to submit the, be fruitful and have lots of babies and name things. Have you got that? What was that fruitfulness? Help me. God bless you. So Genesis 1, 28. Guys, I just want to say this. This is before the fall. This is when things were perfect, which we believe Jesus was trying to restore. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. It's a great thing to do. Look after everything. God's also got stuff for us to do. And it's not bad work. It's amazing God-calling gifted work. It's awesome. And do you know what the calling is? It's bigger than just grabbing a mic or preaching. It's bigger than just, I think some of us Christian view of walking in the call of God, it's like we look for some Christian things. What is Christian? What is Christian? So then, are you going to tell me that if you walk in your call of God, only those who walk in the call of God must leave their jobs and get paid full time by the church and must preach? Or be like a worship leader or what? Is that the full extent of God's plan? Goodness. So much bigger, right? And this hit me like a ton of bricks a few years ago, and I was like, God, I'm such a sausage. Because I must be honest with you, I've always been a bit of a reluctant leader. Some of the guys in the bowl, they've been in eldership meetings and they've spoken about me in a good way. And Anton, I've heard them say, sometimes in meetings, and Kate and you guys can correct me if you're in that, and some of what I heard came up was, wow, Anton's great, and these are the words, and kind of Adam just correct me because I wasn't in the physical meetings, but I heard, Anton is great in meetings, or he really shows up and he's passionate and he's excited and he's filled with God, but then he's very inconsistent. I had a consistency thing, right? Do you know what? Can I tell you a secret? I couldn't see God's plan for me inside the church. It looked a little boring. And when I was in a meeting like this, because I love the Lord, I would feel God, and I would get excited, and I would share, and I would prophesy, and God would use me, because I had gifts in me that He placed, just like He's placed in you, and I would get activated, just by the Holy Spirit. But my plan, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And when I look around the church, I don't see a place for me, Lord. So that's why I was inconsistent. So what would I do? I'd go back to work or something, or I'd try to find an outlet for what I think the plan was. And I was trying to get involved in the plan that God gave me, and it was terrible. Again, don't do that. Know that your whole life is a plan from God. Your work here, outside, everywhere is a plan from God. So when you're walking in the cool of the day, this is okay. When you're walking in the cool of the day with God, bring to Him your whole life. Talk to Him about everything. So I can imagine when God was walking with kind of Adam, they were talking about everything. So I can't even imagine what they were talking about. Subdue the earth and you're ruling over the fish of the sea. They were talking about everything. And Adam was saying, so God, what do you think we should do here? And over there, there's just a hole. And what about under the sea? How do I get under the sea to name those? Like, it's just a lot. I got questions. So let's have a chat. Talk about under the sea tomorrow. Today, we just cover the trees. And then the same with us. When we walk with God, if we can accept that we're walking with God and talking to Him about our whole life, He's going to have input about every aspect, our relationship, our job, our this, our that, and let Him come into it and treat it like it's holy and like God's in it and like it's part of your call. Because nothing that's in your life is a mistake. Does that make sense? Is it helpful at all? Okay. So we know we need to bring our whole life to God. Okay, so we know to do that now. Let's not separate Christian things that we think of or worldly things, because it's all God. We then can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. And Ryan, can I ask you to quickly share that testimony thing? Okay. Are you guys okay? Is it taking a bit long? Give me a timer. How long have we got? No, you guys are going to say 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay.
Hello, everybody. This is my third week here. First week, I met Anton, and I raised my hand, and a couple of oaks came around, and they started praying for me, and it was a pretty special moment, and so on. And me and Anton sort of connected, and he shared a bit about his story, and with me, and he's like, "Shucks, you know, I can see similarities." And basically, you know, since I grew up, you know, I always felt like, you know, God was in my life and stuff, but I would always be in and out and in and out and relying on my own understanding and just also thinking, you know, I'm just going to do it by myself, you know, and I find myself very isolated. I ended up in the UK for a while and just very isolated and alone and just thinking, you know, I've got this. I'm not going to sin. I'm just going to, you know, listen to preachers online and all this sorts of stuff, and then I'm going to be fine. But then temptation would come, worldly things would come, and I will just try and make sense of it, rationalize all these, the world basically, and then I'd find myself in this up and down, you know, trend of walking, trying to walk in it and not in it. And before I wrote this down, yeah, let me just find it. Is Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. So, I would also end up in going to churches and stuff. And because I had this reluctancy to submit and to, you know, give myself over and completely open up my heart to the Lord and hand over everything that I've got to Him, I would stand there and I would, like I said, rely on my own understanding. So somebody would say, we all know, you know, leave girls alone. Don't go mess around there. I would go to church and I'd be like, shucks, it's 2020. How does that even work? I can't even conceptualize those ideas. I need to go on Bumble in the UK and date or whatever. And unfortunately, if you mess around with people who are not in the faith, they're going to tempt you. And I kept on rationalizing these ideas, relying on my own understanding, saying, oh, but this guy says this, that guy says that. And it was just not good, you know, up and down. Long story short, prayed and prayed. Lots of stuff happened. I've got an interesting story. But I ended up here after some serious praying and stuff, and God had a real plan. And I couldn't envision it. I couldn't even think about it. But since then, these guys just rallied around me. I mean, in one day, little bit of testimony. I came here, prayed, and here they started a WhatsApp group straight off the bat. I was like, wow, this is insane. How does that work? Then the week finished, and prayed a bit again, and it's like, oh, this is good, God. I can feel it. I can see there's something happening. And then this random thing happened, you know. JJ messaged me. He's like, dude, I drive past your house every day. I can come for coffee sometimes. And I was like, okay, that's cool, you know. And then I was like, shuck, something is happening here, you know. And then the next thing is, Luke, the pastor, he messages me as well. He SMSs me as well. And he's like, look, you should come to my house for dinner. There's all these things happening. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Now this is the second person reaching out. And I'm also really prayed for friendship and community. And the next thing, Devon and Marva, I get a message from them. Like, look, we're going to go surfing. You want to come join? I've never surfed a day in my life, but I tried once. Spent 15 minutes trying to get out. And it was good. And I was just like, God is really answering my prayers and is really like bringing community and people around me to uplift it. So, yeah, definitely. We need community, and don't think you're going to do it by yourself and rely on your own understanding. So, yeah, thank you.
I don't mean to do like a Q&A, but he was kind of saying, I mean, you felt like you've never felt as much peace and as close to God before.
Absolutely.
But you've done this before. And the biggest difference was like people.
Yes. So the biggest difference, beforehand, I guess, let me go with this. Before I really came to God, or before I really, I don't know how to describe really, I had this almost like this wrestle. And they just came, you know, a definitive point where I realized that I had to submit and make a conscious decision as well. It's almost like God showed me a clear path. Like, you're going to go this way. Again, we've been on this road before. And this is going to lead to destruction. Or I have this other plan for you. But that starts, you know. And it wasn't like the one road was very, very clear. You know, death and destruction. The other road was like trust, faith, and believing in God and honoring God and following his word. And that was it. And it was like, you can either go left, you know where that's going, you've been there before, but then there's the other way, you know, have faith and follow and do that. Don't exactly know how it looks, but all I know is like you say, finding the right people and committing and believing and having faith and opening your heart for Jesus to come in and do the work, and then showing up every day, aiming upward, aiming to do, not as in works and stuff, but just walking in Christ and following that.
So good. Yeah. Okay, so to get from here, we need people. We need to get discipled. Doing it on our own, no go. I first came to the Lord. I got saved on the beach. It was a Christian surfers thing. And I lasted a bit. But I fell away from God for like a year. I went back to the pub playing pool, drinking. It was horrific. Do you know how much you have to drink to forget that you were saved? I'm just saying. It was horrific. I was miserable. There is nothing more miserable than a saved person away from God. You'd rather be unsaved, actually. But you can't get unsaved again, almost. And I didn't have anyone around me. And I didn't know. I didn't know. No one said, dude, you can't live this Christian life by yourself. No one told me that. I thought I could just grab my Bible and give it a go. And then I end up in the pub. It was terrible. So we need, it's impossible to live this Christian life on our own. Impossible. Okay. So we get discipled. So we're saved, we're getting discipled, we're stacking some, eternal riches now. Eternal riches. Can I quickly give a quick hint at some eternal riches? There's a lot, but let me just give a quick scripture. God loves giving to the poor and looking after people and just general acts of love. For some reason, he loves that. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, us, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?" That was a burgie. It wasn't you. "When did we see you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." He has an inheritance. He has some riches. Racks on racks on stacks on stacks on racks. Eternal riches, stacking, racking, stacking, racking. For you who are not au fait with hip-hop lingo, building up eternal riches. And there's many, the Bible is clear on many things like that. You know what sometimes the Bible says as well? You give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't be like the hypocrites. They give in front of everyone. And what does he say? They have got their reward already. Don't do that. When you pray, what does God say? Pray big elaborate prayers, nice spiritual elaborate prayers so that everyone can hear? No, what does he say? Go into your room in quiet and pray to your Father, and he'll reward you openly for what's done in private. There's lots of things we do in the kingdom to rack up stacks and stacks on racks. Okay. Then, what you said, quickly, we're getting discipled, and we can't do this on our own. We then have to, because we all have a calling, each of us, we have to walk worthy of the calling that we've been called into. So we've got to put in, there's guardrails here. Dude, how many times have we all slipped out here? Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. How are we going to stop ourselves from slipping out here? Some of us slip out for like a period. Some of us slip out forever. What do? Walk worthy of the calling. Don't be a hypocrite. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Walk worthy of the calling. What is that? Can I read a scripture for that? Do you mind? Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So what do? Walk worthy of the calling. First thing, put off those old former desires and selves. Put off old self and desires. Okay? Two, put off your old self, be made with new. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. Renew your mind. Don't let the sin go down. Don't let anger. Do not sin in your anger. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. I'm not going to read all of this. There's a lot. But long story short, there's a couple of things that in the kingdom we are to walk in. And as guardrails, and this is forgiveness. I'm just going to write this here. So there's tons of things we know. God doesn't like forgiveness. If we don't forgive, do you know why he doesn't like it? Because he forgave us. So there's a couple of things we put in. Guardrails. To make sure that we don't pull out here. And you know what helps? Sometimes we're strong, and we can do this ourselves. We're strong. I'm not going to look at that lady. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm not going to think about the cash all the time. It's not all about wealth. I'm going to forgive this person. And sometimes we're good at doing it ourselves. Sometimes, because we're human and not robots, we're not. And people can help us. So that's why we try to do this, all of us, try to do this by ourselves, all the best. Very, very hard, almost impossible. With people in our lives, when we're being a disciples, we've got a fighting chance. We've at least got a fighting chance because our friends can go, bro, you don't need that Lamborghini. Remember, that's your old self. You think that you want that, but remember, you're not gonna die with a Lamborghini, bro. So don't do that, dude. It's lame. Oh yeah, sorry, I was so stupid. I forgot. I'm a Christian, eternal. We help each other. Okay, so then what happens next? Can I talk for 2 minutes on leadership? Talk to me. Time right now. No, we can stop it now. Leadership and then done. Okay. I'm going to be very quick on this one. Is that cool? This is kind of an arrow here that kind of goes in a loop. Because even if you lead, you must still be discipled. We lead and we're discipled. Even if you're a leader, you keep being a discipled yourself. Okay. So let's talk on I'm going to talk on 2 minutes and I'm going to be done. Thank you for being so patient. Okay, thank you. Okay. So here we are. So what we're doing, we realize that we're all called and we have a calling in God and we're walking that out. We are walking that out and God has called us. What starts to happen is if this all starts to work and our mind starts to get renewed, we're not holding grudges on anyone, we're not bitter, and we're growing, what starts to happen, we will grow in spiritual maturity. Guarantee it. Guarantee. What starts to happen when we grow in spiritual maturity, God starts to see us and he starts to want to use us to help other people. We start to stack up lovely riches there. What happens here, I want to speak about this kind of leadership part, is we start to walk in this grace that I spoke about, that each of us has got that grace and that unique place and giftings. We start to walk in that grace. And we are not, last one on this, and we are not waiting for any person in the church, leader or not leader, to recognize us and make us a leader. We are not waiting to become a leader so that they put the thing on the board here that says potential deacons in the... We're not waiting for that. We're not waiting. Why? Because who calls us to lead? Who? We don't call you to be a leader. Who am I? I can't call out the calling in your life. I didn't make you in your mother's womb. What can I do? Do you know what we can do as an eldership? The best, and you guys call this out. Do you know the best thing we can do is recognize what God is already doing? You're walking in this. You're growing in the Lord. You're walking in that gifting. You're walking Him in the cool of the day. You're bringing your whole life to Him. You start growing. You're already walking as a leader. And we go, have you seen that guy? You know what? I think he's an elder. Guys, what do you think? 100%. What have we done? Have we made you a leader? All we've done is recognize something that God is already doing. So I want to encourage you guys. And there's been a lot of words coming about breaking mindsets and breaking kind of boxes. You are all called. If I am, by certain you are. We are all called Don't wait. Don't wait for anyone to see you, to recognize you, because this is not the world. Don't try and achieve something as some kind of performance. Don't look for a to-do list for you to do and for you to walk in and compare yourself, because that's the world. That's performance. Walk in the cool of the day. Bring your whole life to God. Bring your whole life to God. God will make you a leader, and people will recognize it, and no one can stand against it. Is that cool? Bless you.